Well, we're going to spend a few minutes together in Scripture. And it's a great way to start the year together. And then we're going to spend some time partaking in communion together. This is a great Sunday. I am glad that you made it. You look around. These are the faithful, true Christians. These are also the ones that didn't stay up for the countdown. So you look around, you'll know who went to bed early. And it is good. It is good to join together and be together. The season leading up to Christmas, we call Advent, right? And that's the name of our church. But Advent means the longing for, the waiting for. It's this word that has all this sort of pent up, built up kind of sense of anticipation to it. That's what the Advent season is. And so we spend that whole season kind of counting down the days until Christmas. In my home, we do little Advent calendars. And here at the church, we do the Advent wreath. And we're sort of counting down. We can't wait. We're looking forward to it. There's so much anticipation built up around it. We wrap gifts and put them out around the tree before Christmas just so you can part of the buildup, right? I mean, that's part of the anticipation. You get to walk around the room looking at what's given. My kids love doing that, counting up who has how many gifts for who. And, you know, there's excitement, a little bit of competition, a lot of excitement, you know, to that. Spying out what's the biggest gift, you know, and can't wait on that. When I was a kid, we would always gather before Christmas. It was real strict. We didn't give away the surprises. It was about, you know, surprise on Christmas Day. But we would gather around and shake the gift and try to guess what it is, you know, and all the buildup that goes into that, which makes Christmas morning often so much fun and a huge letdown, right? I mean, just, you know, because you didn't get what you thought you were getting, or you got all this stuff and it's still not really all that fulfilling. And there's that Christmas afternoon, just you've eaten nothing but sugar for breakfast, you know, that morning, and you've opened gifts, and there's that often that giant crash. Or you couldn't wait for some family members. You had family members coming in, maybe kids that are off away, and they're coming into town, and you could not wait for that. And there was an anticipation. You're counting down the day. That drop, that letdown. And then as the new year comes, we start to put anticipation on the new year. I can't tell you how many times I've said to different staff members and people over the last month, we'll get to that in the new year. You know, it's going to be great. We'll head into the new year. We'll start working on that. And now it's the new year. And I'm like, oh, no, we've got all this stuff that we have to do now. We put all this anticipation out, but we're looking forward. We tend to be good at looking forward. And it's something that's close to our hearts. We're kind of built or wired that way, that we would look forward. Every new year, I started kind of look forward and take stock. And what are the things that are going to be goals for this coming year? What are the things where am I going to put my emphasis? I'm wired that way. I want us to look at a passage today in Luke. This is right around the time of Jesus' birth. This is Luke chapter 2. So if you have your Bible with you, why don't you pull that out? You can get there on your phone app or whatever you use and follow along on the screens. And in Luke chapter 2, we have this story of Jesus being brought to the temple. He's probably still just a baby. And he's brought to be dedicated. And I want to take a look because it's this story of anticipation. It's a story of looking and longing. It's a story about a guy named Simeon. And Simeon, often you'll see Simeon painted in the paintings of antiquity. And when you see him, they always pay special attention to his eyes. Like when Rembrandt paints Simeon, his eyes kind of have this sort of far-off look. He's looking forward. That's the marking of Simeon. That's how you know it's Simeon. So let's look at Luke chapter 2 and pick this up in verse 22. Luke chapter 2, verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of young doves or two young pigeons. Now, I'll pause you right there just to tell you, there's just a little bit of background of what's happening there. This was a requirement that every firstborn male would be brought in and dedicated to God. Now, there's a reason that they required it that way. It points back to the Passover, right? When the people of Israel were called out of Egypt and out of slavery, the firstborn males were a key, important part in that story. And it's just this reminder of the gift that God has given us, even in our own children, that they're not ours, they're God's. And we dedicate them back to God. But it's this reminder of that sacrifice that happened. And at the Passover, there was a lamb that was sacrificed in the place of the firstborn son. And you're to see Jesus, this infant who's just born, but be reminded that he also represents a lamb that will one day pay the sacrifice for our sins. And so all that symbolism is happening in this story. The other little thing to notice here is that they didn't bring a lamb. There was a provision in the law that said you were to sacrifice a lamb when you brought your son to be dedicated, unless you didn't have enough money, and then you would sacrifice some birds. And so we see Jesus' family's social status right here. They sacrificed birds. That's what they could afford. So that tells us a little bit about what's going on. This picture of who Jesus is, this reminder. But let's pick it back up in verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms, and he praised God, saying, and this is Simeon's song here. He is saying, Sovereign Lord, you have promised, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. That's this great message. I've seen this light, and it's for all people, not just for Israel, but it's salvation. Incredible message. Let's go on. It goes a little bit further. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce his own soul too. That's the blessing that Simeon gave. Here's your little baby. You know, I can imagine that if we read that passage every time we did a baptism, this little baby is going to bring the rising and falling, and a sword's going to pierce his heart, you know, and thank God for that baby. Here we go. You know, that's an odd kind of blessing, right? What in the world is Simeon talking about as he does this? Well, I want to look at just a couple of things as we think about this in the context of a new year. A couple of things that we see. The first is that Simeon had this longing, this looking. And in the scripture, it's honed in on this longing and looking and how he was waiting. And as we stand at the beginning of a new year, kind of longing and waiting, I want us to think about this in terms of how Simeon did this. The first is he was longing to hear this. The term that comes out is the consolation of Israel. It goes back to Isaiah saying, comfort, comfort, O Israel. Right? God will save you. Though you've been in the midst of a mess, though you find yourself in place of persecution, God is at work, and God will save you. Comfort, comfort. And that was what Simeon was longing for. And there's this moment where he gets the satisfaction of it, because God's promises that he'll be with you, and that he'll bring redemption and the restoration of all things, and God's promises that he'll save you. But but you don't always see it. And Simeon was part of this great tradition of longing for that. And then the child is brought, what they've been longing for, and he sees the child, and he recognizes that in this child, God is at work, that God's about to bring restoration. He'll bring restoration to the souls of his people, and not just for Israel, but for even those beyond. He was looking for and longing for this, and the promise is fulfilled. God's salvation is at work. And I think for each one of us, sometimes we long for all kinds of things. But we often long that God would heal our brokenness. We long that God would restore our community. God would restore our families. We have these longings. And sometimes we wonder, God, where are you? God, are you really at work at all? Are you in the still in business, God, or have you shut the doors? I haven't heard from you in a while. And we're reminded in this story of Simeon that God's salvation is at work, that he actually has sent his son. It doesn't always look the way that we expect it to look, but God has sent his son, and he promises to begin at work in our hearts and souls and bring about the restoration of our own hearts and souls, and the restoration of our communities and our families and our relationships, that God is at work as he promised. God shows up. He continues to show up. The problem is I don't always have the eyes to look for it. I don't always see God at work. Simeon was looking just for that. He was looking for God's salvation. So he's longing for this comfort. And the word that we hear is, you may be comforted. God is at work. Your story may not be going the direction you thought it would go, but God's at work. You may not see all the things that you'd hope for, and the healing may not be happening in the way that you expected, but take comfort. God is at work. He has sent his son, and he sent him to you. He sent him to me. Another thing I want you to pay attention to Simeon this morning is his attention to the Holy Spirit. Did you see that in there? I talked about the first thing that said was the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit was on him. There's this sense of closeness to the Holy Spirit. The second thing it says is that it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, right? Something was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And the third thing that happens is he goes to the temple because he was moved by the Holy Spirit. He goes to the temple, and that's where he sees Jesus. See, Simeon was looking and longing, but he did it with eyes that were open to the Holy Spirit. He was sensitive to the Spirit's whisper. He was sensitive to the Spirit's move in his life. As I think about a new year, I'm great at drawing out lists and goals and all the things I want to accomplish and the checklists I want to do. What I'm not always great at is stopping and listening to the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, where do you want me to go? If I'm to be moved, Holy Spirit, where do you want me to move? Simeon was listening for the Holy Spirit. He wasn't just looking for the plan or the expectation that he had, but he was listening. Holy Spirit, move me. Come upon me. Holy Spirit, speak to me. For many of us, as we stand at the beginning of a new year, the thing we need to do most is stop and listen to the Holy Spirit. Speak, Holy Spirit, in that still small voice. Speak, Holy Spirit, in loud ways. Speak, Holy Spirit, to me through the scripture. Holy Spirit, speak. I'm open, I'm willing, I'm even expecting for you to speak. There's one more thing. Simeon was longing and looking, and then when he saw Jesus, he was satisfied. Like, he was longing with the right satisfaction. Sometimes I'm only satisfied if things work out the way I thought that they should, and the way that, you know, I had kind of planned them and pictured them in my mind. But Simeon was satisfied when he knew that God was at work, that the promise was at hand, that God's kingdom was going to be happening in the world. That he met Jesus and he was satisfied. Guys, I fill my life with the wrong satisfactions all the time. right? And that's the problem with the Christmas morning letdown. I look, you know, open up all the presents, and I think what will satisfy me won't. And by Christmas evening, you know, I'm just looking, I'm just like, man, this, you know, yeah, it was fun for a second, but now look at the mess we got to clean up, you know, look at the, oh, man, and, you know, the satisfaction letdown, because I was looking for satisfaction in the wrong places. And his satisfaction had a wisdom to it that, I mean, did you hear that? As he's blessing this child, as he's speaking and interacting with Mary and Joseph, is not this thought that everything's going to be rosy and perfect, right? He knew that there would be, he's talking about a sword piercing. He knew that there would be trouble and difficulty. It's not the kind of satisfaction that says, well, then everything's just going to be perfect from now forward. That wasn't the satisfaction he was looking for. But he was longing and looking for God to be at work in the world, in his life, in our lives. Even with a recognition that things will be difficult, and yet God will walk with us. The story of Christmas is God coming into our world. But the question is, how do we respond to that? Are we looking for that and longing for that? Are we looking and longing in other places?